Good morning again. So, is love a mystery? Apparently it's a pug. Typically when I'm preparing to give a sermon, I'll have something to start with, a germ of an idea or a scripture passage. And I'll just sort of soak myself for a while in everything I can that has anything to do with that subject. So I'll listen to podcasts and I'll read blogs and articles. And at some point, something will stick out to me. And in through prayer and talking about it, I'll be led in some direction. And sometimes it doesn't make sense, but I'll go, no, there's something in that story about the crazy guy with the cheese doodles on Antarctica or something. Right? But I got to tell you, there is so much out there about love. There are so many voices, thousands of voices, telling us how to get love, how to make love, how to keep love, how to forget love when we need to. There's neuroscience that tells us that the synapses in our brain pop when we see a picture of someone we love. There's pop psychology that tells us how to love somebody without losing ourselves completely in the process. And there are so many garbage clickbait articles that tell us how to be absolutely perfect so the person that we love will love us and will keep loving us forever and ever and ever. I gotta tell you, the one thing I can say beyond a doubt is yes, love is a mystery. It's a mystery to all of us. I listened to a podcast with an astrophysicist who talked about how her understanding of black matter led her to see love as a force that connects all of us together. In just a little while, the choir is going to sing P.A. Jesu, Andrew Lloyd Webber's song. I read an article about how the arrangement of the Requiem that piece is from was inspired by a Cambodian refugee boy and the devastating, horrible tragedies that he saw in his childhood, until he was transformed by the love of his adoptive family. That's love. I've experienced love in my personal life. When I was 15, I went to a play, and I met a girl that was in the show. And that night, I took the ticket from the play, and I stuck it in my wallet. And I carried that ticket around in my wallet for 20 years, until 2 years ago, I married her, and I gave her the ticket. She's right there. That's love. I don't know how it happened. It really is a mystery. It's been a mystery for a long time. In our scripture passage today, Paul was telling the people of Corinth what love looked like because they were kind of getting it wrong. They weren't sure either. But the mystery goes back actually much further than that. In fact, let's go all the way back to the beginning. The first two chapters of Genesis are an ancient attempt to explain how the world came to be the way it is. And some of us may know this story, right? God separates the light from the dark, and God says, it is what? Good, right. And then God creates the heavens, and he creates the earth, and the sky, and the seas. And God says that it is good. But it's not just good. That Hebrew word there is tov. And it has a sense of tastiness, of savoriness to it. So it's like, good. It's kind of like if somebody makes a big pot of stew and they leave it on the stove on a winter day, and you go in and you take off the lid and you smell just the richness of it and you go, good. Right? It's not, it is good. It's, That's how God felt about creation. And then God created a human. And something changes. For the first time, God is not entirely pleased with creation. Chapter 1 has it a little bit differently, but in chapter 2, God says, it is not good for this human to be alone. The entire cosmos were deliciously good. Tov. This wasn't quite right. And so God does kind of a funny thing. God brings all of the animals to the human. But then the human is still alone, which I think is kind of funny. God basically said, oh, you're lonely? Well, have you tried talking to a giraffe? Which didn't work out. So what does God do? God creates another human. And then the first human says to that second human, yes, this at last. It's like the human actually says, good this time. I felt that. When Rachel and I started talking again, I heard something inside me say, yes, this, at last. And when I watched her walking towards me down the hill in her wedding dress with our three boys bouncing around her, something inside said, this is good. I don't think that this applies just to romantic love, though. It's all love. We're created to be with other people. We're created to be loved. Greg Mobley, who is the Old Testament professor at Andover Newton, who many of you know, he raised a question in our Old Testament class when we were covering this passage in Genesis. And this is the question. How did God know that it wasn't good? How did God know that it wasn't good that the human was alone? Is it possible that God also needs to be loved? That God might need us? Or maybe that's what creation was all about? I'll let you decide then. But let me say this. We are obviously meant to be in relationship with each other. We need to belong. We need to be known. All over the Bible, there are stories about how God also needs to be known by us. And about how if we love God, God loves us back. Not if, God loves us anyhow. But there is a reciprocal relationship. We are to love each other. We're created for that purpose. The astrophysicist I listened to was right. There is a force moving through the universe and all of creation that binds us together and binds us to each other and to God, and that is love. And it can be scary. It doesn't always go very well. We're human, and things get messy. It's confusing, and none of us knows exactly what it is. It really is a mystery. It was a mystery to Paul. At the end of the chapter that Tom read for us, in verse 12, Paul says, "For now we only see in a dim and blurry picture of things, as when we stare into polished metal. I realize that everything I know is only part of the big picture." But he gives us a few things to look for. He says, "But here are a couple things I've figured out about love and what it looks like. It's patient. It's kind. It doesn't keep score. It trusts. It hopes. It endures." Again, this isn't just romantic love. In fact, even though this same passage is read at hundreds of weddings every year, Paul isn't actually talking about romantic love here. He's talking about the love that we have here in the church, the love that we have for each other and for other people, the love that keeps us from killing each other sometimes so we can get some stuff done. Right? Love is the way we are to live our lives with each other and with the people outside, beyond these walls. Paul goes on to say in chapter 14, "So in everything, strive to love." You're not going to get it right all the time, but strive. It's what you were made for. And here is one part of the mystery of love I want you to know. Love will change you. You can't love another person and not be changed by that experience. That's scary too, but it's how it works. This is how we combat making another person into an other. It starts with relationship, getting to know someone, finding the humanity, and realizing we're not really that different. And then accepting that something inside of me is going to change and loving that person anyway. That is good. I read this great thing by Omid Safi, who is the director of Duke University's Islamic Center. He said, each of us is like a musical symphony made up of so many unsung notes. It is the encounters with our fellow human beings that determine what notes emerge from us. We have a say in the matter. We have so much say in the matter. But the beauty of our companions also has a say. The beauty in our fellowship has a say. There are notes that are played in me now that were never played before I talked to Rachel again. I was changed. And let me tell you, I have been changed by my time here at MCC. You have been patient. You have been kind. I hope you have not kept tally of wrongs. You have trusted, you have encouraged, and my friends, I have felt so loved by you. It has been good. It has been my honor to be with you this year, and I can't wait to be back in the fall. There are notes that will be played in my ministry that are there because I learned them here from you at MCC. Thank you. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, because love is patient, help us to be slow to judge, be quick to listen, hesitant to criticize, but eager to encourage. Because love is kind, help our words to be gentle and our actions to be thoughtful. Because love does not boast and is not proud, help us to have hearts that are humble and see the good in others. Because love is not rude or self-seeking, help us to speak words that are easy on the ear and on the heart. Because love is not easily angered and keeps no record of wrongs, help us to forgive others as you have forgiven. Because love does not delight in evil but rejoices with truth, help us stand up for what is right and good. Because love always protects and always trusts, help us to be a refuge for those around us. When the world outside is harsh and cold, may our hearts be a place of acceptance and warmth. And finally, because love always perseveres, help our hearts continually beat with love for you and for others. We ask all of these things in your name. Amen.